Welcome to Wonder in Reality with Jim Harwell. Welcome into part three of Jesus Saves, Jesus Heals. This is Jim Harwell with Wonder Reality. One of the main things that I'm emphasizing early in these messages is that these truths and revelations from Jesus Christ are so glorious, so vast, so awesome, so eternal, so and on, that we as human beings on the earth, we are not able to fully comprehend and understand them and receive them because they're so awesome. Remember the famous psalm, "Such things are too wonderful for me." All the truths and revelations that Jesus Christ reveals in the Gospels and that He wants to reveal to His people are like that. Amen. And it's the same thing with physical healing. But more than physical healing, just healing in general, you know, the healing that we can receive through Him, the new life, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, all these different ways, and yes, physically, the new life, which means, the divine life. I've continually been talking about this divine supernatural life, the God kind of life, eternal life, which is knowing Him, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Amen. Life everlasting. So even though this message is about healing, physical healing, this series, and you know, Jesus saves and Jesus heals. Amen. Even though it's about physical healing, really, it's like all the other messages. It comes back to that one and only most important, the only thing, knowing the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. When we do that, we get healed. It's automatic. It's glorious. And it's a journey where it's so divine and glorious and awesome that we really can't grasp Him immediately, right? There's four phases. We have to press on and persist and continue on with consistency and with patience, walking with Him, and during all this process, prove ourselves worthy of Him and of receiving Him, His presence, which brings the glorious revelations and truths and deep revelations and truths that He wants to reveal to us. Amen. Amen. And so I think it is important to learn about these specific truths that He's revealing, such as how important our words are. I mentioned that in part two. And I want to get to that in this message some. But mainly it's knowing Him. I mean, it's that simple where, you know, we can learn all the things mentally and we can learn the whole Bible and not really know Him and not receive the glorious presence and person of Jesus Christ, which is the answer, 100% of the answer. Once we receive Him, all those other things follow. Amen. All glory to God forever. So yes, I do want to discuss the specific truths, such as the power of our words. and how that's so important and what Jesus wants to reveal to us about that, because that's part of our learning process. But again, it all comes back to Him. I want to repeat, from our end, we have to choose to follow Him every day. Generally, we have to make the choice. Like, either are we going to follow Jesus and be a child of God through Jesus Christ, a follower, or not? Like, that general decision, that's the biggest decision in a human being's life, no matter what age they are, whether they're 6 years old or 96, that general decision. But then every day, we have to choose to seek Him. Even those of us who are fortunate enough to be saved, we have to choose to follow Him. Choose you this day whom you will serve, is the famous verse. Well, today, every day, we have to choose that. God's not going to make us do it. We're made in His image. We have a free will. We have to choose, and even more than that, as I just mentioned, we have to persist and press into Him and seek Him. And these are all things, it's all in the Gospels, but I'm kind of generalizing here. We have to seek Him. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, the presence of God. We have to be patient. We have to be consistent. We have to be faithful and prove ourselves worthy. These are deep things. Right there in Matthew, Jesus said, if anyone loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. If anybody loves his children or his son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? It's the whole message of the Gospels and of the New Testament. We are to put off our old nature, to die where we're no longer living. Jesus lives in and through us. Amen. So I'm saying all this because how important it is to know we have to do these things, but when we do, yes. A man of God once said, God will meet us more than halfway. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our strengthener, our standby, our advocate, our comforter, our helper. So Jesus Christ does all of those things. He's going to do those things for us when we choose to follow Him. But we have to choose. We have to, you know, and again, as I've been saying, the sad, tragic thing is that even most Christians are not doing that. They're not choosing to seek Him. The question is, where's our heart, our innermost being? And the sad, tragic thing is most Christians have their heart and their innermost being in other things. Might be their career. It might be their family. It might be their children, their spouse, another person. Maybe in just having fun and enjoying the glorious, great things that God has given us. Family, friends, material things, our health, nature, and all these things, those things are great. But someone may have their heart and innermost being in these other things. Like, it might even be in their Christian ministry. That's not where our heart is supposed to be. It's supposed to be just with Jesus Christ, right? Their heart may be in even things that are not as noble as those other things. Good and noble as those other things, it might be in sex, drugs, alcohol, or some sin, or maybe, as Jesus said, the deceitfulness of riches, cares of this world. Maybe they are caught up in the cares of this world. That's part of living on the earth. But my point is, very few people are really seeking the Lord, doing what He says to do. We know that 70 to 75% of people are not even saved. So we're already in that small category. I've mentioned that in other messages. back to the topic of the importance of our words, and also it's related to faith. I do want to emphasize the topic that Jesus talked about the second most after the kingdom is faith. Faith, another word for it is reliance. It's simple and easy and glorious. It's awesome. Often faith can be intimidating to us. There's this whole, I think, kind of almost a debate and some negative energy about faith. You know, people may think, I've got to have faith, you know, to receive my miracle, to receive what I need from God. I've got to have faith, and I've got to work up my faith, and it's taken 10 years and 20 years, and I still am trying to have the faith. Let's forget all that. Faith is simple. It's easy. So simple and easy that I think we all at times miss it, because famous teaching, Jesus said we have to become like a child to receive the kingdom of God. So when we receive, again, it comes back to the kingdom of God, the presence of Jesus Christ. When we find Him, He gives us the faith. And it's simple. It's just relying on Him. It's relying on Him for every area, spiritual, emotional, psychological, mental, and yes, physical. Relying on Him to do what He has promised and what we need. Just relying on Him. It's just like a seed goes into the ground and really doesn't think about it, doesn't worry, doesn't, just slowly, patiently, that seed gets what the seed needs, sunlight, air, water, nutrients from the soil, and the seed slowly grows up into the plant. And this happens, I mean, it's really an incredible miracle to think about seeds going into the ground, like billions of seeds, and they come produce the food that we need and the things. It's just incredible. But those seeds, Jesus talked again and again about seeds. That if you have faith as a mustard seed, really it's just mustard seeds were common where he was. He could have just said, if you have faith as a seed, you'll say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be cast into the sea, and it'll be moved. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will say unto this tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. It is. I probably want to give a full message, or more than one, about just faith and about how it's 99.9% God's glorious presence and power and His word and all of that. And it's 0.01% our faith. It's relying on Him. And then related to faith, our words. So let's get in the habit and of using those positive words and saying, glory to God, Jesus has saved me. Amen. Jesus has set me free. Amen. And words of positive words of power and of faith. Let's look again at the famous verse, the famous teaching truth that Jesus said when He said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Three times the word says is in there, and one time the word believe is in there. I believe that's Mark 11. Well, it's in Mark. Famous, you can look it up. That's an incredible, everything that Jesus said is incredible and vast and glorious. But this one specifically about words and about faith. And So here's what I want to finish up with. When we find Jesus Christ, our spirit person becomes alive and born again. Amen. That's our real person. We are spirit beings. Our real person is our spirit man or woman. That's our innermost being. That's our heart. That's the real us. If a person dies on the earth, their physical body will not be functioning, right? Their spirit person will stand up and would be able to look down at their body. Their spirit person, our spirit person, is shaped like us. For eternity, we will exist either in heaven or in hell. And our shape and form will be like our physical body on the earth. We'll have a head and arms and legs and a body so that spirit person, one of our missions, so to speak, our tasks, jobs on the earth in our walk with Jesus Christ is to build up that spirit person every day, and to build up. I'm saying this to myself too. I'm trying to motivate myself and anyone who will listen to build up that spirit person throughout our whole life, and to the point where ideally our spirit person is fully alive and in total control. That's Jesus Christ now is living in and through us. And our old nature, which the New Testament calls our flesh, our old nature, is dead, is put to death, gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until that old nature is just pretty much gone, and because that old nature is this monster that wants to rule over our being and to be in control. And we don't want that because that leads only to death. So to keep it simple, again, it's simple. Yes, it's a mystery. We're made in God's image. We're the image of God Almighty, the glorious creator of the universe, the three in one God, the God the Father Almighty, who's on the throne and made the universe, who has billions of angels in his armies, five divisions, classifications of angels, billions of angels, and just this awesome Lord God Jehovah. Amen. He made us in his image. And we have three parts: our spirit, our soul, and our body. So our spirit person is the most important. I mean, on the earth we have to have all three, and we are a spirit being. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. Our soul is really an intangible part of us. And then our body, we know what our body is, right? But we can look at our body and touch our body. We are a physical body. We've got, most people live fully just in their, that's all they really, well, everyone also there has their soul, their soul, mind, will, emotions, yes. But we all know what our body is, right? Head and our body and our organs and our arms and legs. I'm getting to a final point here. Our spirit being is the most important, and it's that part of us is what's eternal. And so we want to focus on that. And famous teaching that Paul wrote about in the New Testament about how the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces and dividing soul, and spirit. So it's the presence of God and the Word of God, which are one and the same, you know, is the only thing that can separate our spirit person from our soul and bring our spirit person and make that part of us alive. You know, without God's presence and His Word doing that, our soul is really, our old nature is still in control. And so in this, again, it's almost a mystery that really it's hard to explain, but at the same time, I want to make this point that, and again, these are such glorious revelations. We could give a billion messages about these things and we'll still just be touching the surface. We really just have to live and experience this mystery and just do it for ourselves, and God Almighty will reveal these glorious things to us. And it's all His presence. That's the whole key. We don't have to know all these intricate details. It's good to know them, and that's why I'm making this point, but it's just His presence. One person seeking God and seeking the Lord Jesus and receiving His presence, all of these things happen. They don't have to even understand it all, because we're never going to understand it all. But let me just try to make this point. When the presence of God touches us, our spirit person becomes separated from our soul and our old nature, and then our spirit person becomes alive. Amen. And that's when we're truly then, we're a new person. We're walking in the Spirit. We're now a divine being. We now can live forever. That's when somebody truly is getting saved and set free and everything. Amen. So I'll get more into this in the next part, but that our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. Before we find Jesus Christ, we're not saved, right? Our mind, our will, our emotions are doing certain things, and our old nature's in control, right? Pure and simple, that we're not saved. You know, our mind is on things other than Jesus Christ. Whatever our mind is filled with, whatever our mind, our will, and our emotions are filled with, it's things other than Jesus Christ. We're not saved. But when the presence of God comes in, along with the Word of God, then our spirit person becomes born again, born alive, and is now separates from that old soulish realm, the soulish things that were not of Jesus Christ separated, and then that old nature is now dying, so to speak, and we need to put that to death every day, you know, not pursue any of those things. Get away. If we were in some kind of whatever it was not of Jesus Christ. You know, it was sin, it was our own thing, it was self-will, it was really bad sin, or maybe it was just someone doing, you know, involved in self-will. Their mind was filled with themselves. Their soul, their mind and will and emotions were all about them and themselves and their needs and their career and me and this and that. Self-will is the ultimate sin. But when the presence of God comes in, boom, amen. The spirit person is now alive and is living, and we build up our spirit person. And that's that famous, remember the famous verse, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. So we're transformed. The Spirit of God, the presence of God, and all the glorious things He brings renews us. Amen. So our words are an important part of that. Our words, if we are using empowering words and words that are positive and empowering and strengthening, you know, Jesus has saved me. Jesus has you know, I'm born again. I'm, you know, Jesus has all these empowering things, then that's going to help us in this process. But if our words are words of failure and fear and doubt, that's not going to help us. That's going to hurt us. That's going to send us back to that old nature. So that's just an example of how words are such an important part. You know, our words are coming from us, from our mind, will, and emotions, and all of that. So just something to think about. A little longer of a message today. You know, remember, there's a lot of controversy about, you know, does Jesus heal or not? And so I want to just present some things, get anyone who will listen thinking about these things, these glorious truths. Till the next message, thanks for listening.